Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, October 26th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. Thank you so much for making this show your first listen each day. We have an injury update on Zach Wilson, and we have a trade for a quarterback. We'll talk about all of this and more today on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, an eventful Monday for the New York Jets at the quarterback position. As I mentioned on yesterday's show, we were expecting to have some injury news on Zach Wilson at some point on Monday. Of course, the Jets rookie quarterback was injured in the debacle on Sunday in Foxborough as the Jets lost to the Patriots 54-13. If you want my thoughts on that embarrassment, you can listen to yesterday's show. But Wilson was injured in the first half of that game. It looked like a knee injury. He did not return. Mike White played the rest of the game. And Wilson got his MRI on Monday. And it's not the best news, and it's not the worst news. Now, it was probably too optimistic to hope that Wilson would be able to play this Sunday against Cincinnati, especially after what we saw in that game. And he will be out. He will miss 2 to 4 weeks with a sprained PCL. Now, of course, the worst case scenario would have been Wilson missing the rest of the season. And fortunately, we were able to avoid that outcome. So we will see Zach Wilson in somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks. So, you know, a month or less, which, you know, this time on Sunday, if you told me that, I probably would have taken it. So the games that Wilson could or will miss, the first one is obviously this Sunday against Cincinnati. Then you have a Thursday night game against the Colts. And depending on Wilson's progress, the next game could be the game where he returns. And if you're looking at the schedule, you say, okay, Thursday night game, that means you have a few extra days to prepare for the next game. That would normally seem like a very logical return point. The thing is, that next game is against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, of course, are one of the top teams in the AFC. They are a top contender to represent the conference in the Super Bowl. So if you're looking for a return point for Zach Wilson, you might say, you know what, let's wait a week. You don't necessarily want to put your rookie quarterback coming off an injury up against that Buffalo defense. And then the fourth game would be Miami. So we're expecting him back at some point between either the Buffalo game in a couple of weeks or the game after Miami, which would be a game against Houston. So, I mean, if you want Zach Wilson to return, do you want him to return against Buffalo? Do you want him to return against Miami? Or do you want him to return against Houston? I think I'll take Miami or Houston. So even if Zach is feeling better, you might want to delay his return. And really, so much about this season is about the Jets making progress. We've spoken about this extensively, that it's not all about the win-loss record. It's about progress. But I want to be clear on that. There is an element of progress that plays into the win-loss record. The Jets win one game the rest of the season. It's going to be very difficult to say that this team has made progress. Progress does need to show up in the one-loss record. However, it's not only about the one-loss record, because this is still a team that is at the beginning stages of its rebuild. So I don't know that playoffs were a reasonable expectation entering the season. I don't know that a winning record was necessarily a reasonable expectation entering the season. You want to see this team get better, but nowhere is improvement more important than the quarterback position. And when Wilson got injured, I think he had to be worried, because he was the number one reason to watch this team at this point, because no player's progress is more important for the long-term future of this franchise than Zach Wilson. And this season's really built around him. I think typically when you're playing a rookie quarterback, you know that there are going to be some very rough moments. And for Zach Wilson, unfortunately, there have been a lot for him through his first six NFL games. Although I do think he was off to a pretty good start to Sunday's game in Foxborough. He was just put in a really tough spot because the Jets ran the ball twice on their first series and put him behind the sticks. He was in a 3rd and 7 where he had to deal with Belichick throwing a blitz at him from the secondary. He really did not get to operate until he was down 14 points, but he made some plays. He played decently. But ultimately, and I think frequently what happens is expectations are too high when a rookie quarterback enters the NFL. There's just a lot you need to learn. And I have to admit, I probably put too high expectations on Zach Wilson entering this season. I think we all get optimistic. I think we all get excited when you have a rookie quarterback. But you look across the league, rookie quarterbacks are struggling. The guy who's probably played the best so far, Mac Jones, he's not exactly dominating out there. Now, he did against the Jets, but that's against the Jets. Even he's just really playing more steady football. He's not going out there making a ton of plays. He's kind of just managing the game. I guess if we want to use the cliche, he's been kind of a good game manager for New England. The other rookies who are not in positions as favorable, not in systems as helpful as New England's, are really struggling out there. And when you're putting a rookie quarterback out there, it's really a developmental year. And losing Zach would have hurt this team quite a bit if it was for longer. Now, listen, these next couple of games are going to be really tough. I understand Zach Wilson has had his struggles, but there's a reason he's starting, and there's a reason the guys behind him were on the bench. And there's going to be a new quarterback with the Jets. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. I was looking at this schedule, and I got to be honest with you. Last night, I was kind of worried because I'm looking at this schedule, and it goes beyond the schedule. It goes to the quarterbacks the Jets did have on the roster, whether you're talking about Mike White or whether you're talking about Josh Johnson. And I believe I said this on yesterday's show. The Jets cut Mike White or the Jets cut Josh Johnson. I am not convinced that either of them get picked up by another team in the NFL, even for a practice squad spot. The depth at quarterback for the Jets was dismal. And listen, I understand that most teams don't even have one good quarterback, much less two. Backup quarterbacks are not easy to find in this league, but there are different levels of bad. You know, there's Sam Darnold bad, and of course, Sam was just benched in Carolina, if you've been following, and now there's all this talk about how the Panthers are ready to move on from him. But Sam Darnold bad is different from Mike White or Josh Johnson bad. Sam Darnold has some good games in him. Sam Darnold has some good moments in him. You can win games with Sam Darnold. I'm not convinced if the Jets had to go with Mike White or Josh Johnson the rest of the way that this team had a win in it. So in some ways, I'm kind of breathing a sigh of relief that we will get Zach back at some point this season. And it's important for him to get back because really, I think the best way for him to learn is going to be by playing. And I go back and forth on this because there have been some points early in the season where I say, well, should he really be playing? Is he going to pick up bad habits? But ultimately, if your goal is not to win games, and I should rephrase that. I'm not saying that the Jets have no ambitions on winning, but again, this season's really about development. This was not a team going into the season competing for a playoff spot. You know, if you're competing for a playoff spot, it's really tough to put a rookie quarterback in there. You know, if you're like San Francisco, I can understand why maybe their original goal was not to play Trey Lance all that much, because it's about learning. You know, you think back, go back all the way to 2009, it was kind of a tough spot for the Jets, because if you're trying to win, the toughest thing to do is to develop a quarterback at that time, because you have to live with the growing pains. And of course, they had a guy in Mark Sanchez who never really grew into that franchise role. If you are playing the year to develop a quarterback, it's a little bit easier to live with those mistakes, because you know what? You can live with the mistakes, because even if they lose you games, you can live with the losses, because it's all part of growing. It's all part of developing the quarterback for the future. And I'm glad we'll have a chance to get Zach back this season. He'll be able to make some more starts. He'll have more experience under his belt heading into his second season in 2022. I'd love to see him play these next couple of weeks. Although I know what I just said about the Buffalo game, but the more experience Zach gets this year, you hope the better he'll be in the long run. And at least we will see him back in 2 to 4 weeks. But the Jets did make a trade. They did make a move, hopefully, to at least to some extent upgrade their quarterback depth that we'll talk about ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday. Now, it's difficult to say that the quarterback the Jets acquired on Monday has much upside, but I do want to tell you about an app you need to know about when you buy gas. It's called GetUpside, and my listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN. Thanks again for making Locked On Jets your first listen each day. As we discussed in the first segment, the Jets will be without Zach Wilson for 2 to 4 weeks with a sprained PCL. And that led to the question on Monday, what's going to happen at the quarterback position? Mike White filled in for Wilson for most of Sunday's game at New England after Wilson left with the knee injury, but he did not seem like a very viable option as a starting quarterback for this team. The Jets also have veteran Josh Johnson on their practice squad, but he's a guy who's been in the NFL since 2008 and has a grand total of 1 win on his resume, so he's also not a great option. Well, we got our answer on Monday afternoon as the Jets made a trade to bring back a familiar face. It's Joe Flacco returning to the team. He, of course, was the Jets' backup quarterback a year ago, started 4 games in place of Sam Darnold when Sam was injured, lost all 4 games, and really did not look very impressive doing it. He completed only 55.2% of his passes, averaged 6.4 yards per attempt. They played about 3 good quarters against New England on the Monday night game. The Jets lost, although threw a big interception in the fourth quarter that helped contribute to the Jets blowing that game, and also played a good second half against the Chargers, but ultimately was not very effective. And Flacco's best years are long behind him. I mean, it's been about 7 years or so and a couple of teams since he was an effective, viable starting quarterback in this league. You look back, I mean, his last few years in Baltimore were not good. He had a year in Denver, which was less than stellar, last year with the Jets, and this year he was the Eagles' backup quarterback. I think you look at this from two different perspectives. If we're just talking about the short term, if we're talking about this specific move, I mean, it does make some sense because starting Mike White or Josh Johnson was just not a viable option. Flacco's not very good, but he's certainly better than Mike White. He's certainly better than Josh Johnson. In fact, this sounds a lot like the rationale I gave a year ago when the Jets signed Flacco, and I said, it's not a great move, but at least he's better than Mike White. And listen, I understand that the Jets are not very good right now. I understand the record's bad. I understand that the team's not going to the playoffs, but you have to make an attempt to win games. And you're not going to win games with Mike White. You're not going to win games with Josh Johnson. You're probably not going to win with Flacco, but he at least gives you a viable option. Or semi-viable, I guess. I mean, maybe calling it viable is too generous, but he's at least semi-viable. You know, it goes back to there are levels of badness. Joe Flacco in his current form is bad, but he's nowhere near as bad as Mike White or Josh Johnson. And listen, you know, we talk about progress this year. We talk about how it's not just about wins and losses. Well, you know, if you're trying to establish a culture, you can't just throw these games away. You can't say that we're not going to compete. We're not going to try and win games. So listen, in that sense, and listen, the package that the Jets gave up was not very big. I understand the deal, and I think they had to do something at the quarterback position. However, there's a different sense you can look at this, and that's the sense I'm much more focused on. If you're looking at this from a long-term perspective, I mean, Joe Douglas looks so bad. He looks so foolish because he just traded for a guy he could have re-signed last offseason. Joe Flacco was on the team last offseason, and he let him walk out the door because he felt like Mike White was fine. And this is the thing that makes no sense to me, is prior to last season, Flacco was a pretty late signing in the 2020 offseason. The Jets got him because they did not trust Mike White. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to. Nobody said it explicitly, but that's what it comes down to. That's why they got Joe Flacco a year ago. So what changed in that year? I mean, what, was Mike White so great on the practice field in 2020 that Joe Douglas just decided, you know what, we can go with this guy? Well, obviously not, because, I mean, you saw what he looked like in preseason. You saw what he looked like against New England. I know he hit a few checkdowns, but at what point did Mike White ever look like a viable option? So I think we can assume that he did not look great on the practice field, and anecdotally, I was at a couple of practices in training camp. He looked awful then. So how did it come to this? Why did Joe Douglas spend the offseason neglecting the backup quarterback position? Obviously, he knew there was an issue because the second Zach Wilson goes down, he makes a trade to get another quarterback. He knew that his options were not viable. So why did this happen? First of all, if you wanted Flacco so badly, why did you not re-sign him? And by the way, now, how ridiculous does it look? And I understand that it's a sixth-round pick. It could be a fifth-round pick. It's a conditional pick. It's a sixth-round pick now. Could be a fifth-round pick if Flacco plays enough, if he hits enough playing time benchmarks. You essentially gave up a pick for a guy you could have signed last offseason. That's what it comes down to. You let this guy walk out the door, and now you gave up. That's horrible asset management. Horrible asset management. And I don't want to go too crazy over a pick, but it shows something deeper. It shows bad management. It shows bad long-term planning. And it shows that you knew that there was a problem with backup quarterback all offseason, and you did nothing about it. You knew Mike White couldn't play. So what were you thinking? Why didn't you not bring in a more viable backup option? It makes no sense to me. I'm probably ranting too much about this, but I just can't get over the fact that you gave up a 6 or a 5 for a guy you just could have signed in the you had an exclusive window before free agency hit. And you know what? I shouldn't even be complaining about Flacco because Flacco wasn't any good last year. Flacco's not a great option. You had better options you could have gotten during the offseason. You could have made a move. You could have made a trade to get somebody better. And you chose to just let the backup quarterback position sit. And you allowed this situation to deteriorate where essentially Zach Wilson goes down, which, by the way, quarterbacks get hurt in the NFL. You cannot say that this was some unforeseen circumstance. It's what happens. It's a difficult game. Guys get hurt all the time. Quarterbacks go down all the time. You know that there's a good chance you're going to have to use your backup quarterback at some point this season. It's not like this is something that was totally out of the blue. You've worked in the NFL a long time, Joe. You should understand that this happens. And you essentially put yourself into a situation where you have to give up a pick for a guy who isn't very good. Awful, awful, awful long-term management. Awful planning. Awful job at the backup quarterback spot. The most ridiculous thing is that I can say, you know what, short-term this move makes sense. Do you know how ridiculous it is that I can say short-term this move makes sense? It shows you how badly you planned this thing long-term when Joe Flacco is a big upgrade over what you had. It's horrible, Joe. You look horrible. That's all there is to it. And now we got Joe Flacco here. And listen, you have to try and compete. I don't agree with the people who say you can't do anything. I think, you know, if you're going to say we're trying to build something here, well, part of building something means that you're going out there, you're trying to win games. And by the way, you have to try and develop players. I mean, Joe Flacco gives a guy like an Elijah Moore a better chance to try and develop. I mean, what's Elijah Moore going to learn running routes with Mike White or Josh Johnson airmailing him? Flacco can, you know, hit some passes here. And there are other guys who, you know, need these games to develop. So Flacco gives you a better chance to do that. But the fact that Flacco is better than the incumbents, I mean, any situation where you're telling me Joe Flacco in his current, and I'm not talking Joe Flacco's career. Joe Flacco has had a wonderful career. Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, one of the great postseason runs in history, helped stabilize the quarterback position for the Baltimore Ravens at a point where they were wasting iconic defenses with Hall of Famers. He gave that team stability at the quarterback position, has had an excellent career. I don't mean to demean Joe Flacco's career in any way, but in his current form, he should not be a vast upgrade over what you have. And if he is, then you've done a horrible job at the quarterback position. Now, I do think Flacco will probably get into the lineup pretty early because he has experience in quote-unquote Shanahan offenses. Actually, his last good year was in 2014 under Gary Kubiak, who was a guy who worked under Mike Shanahan for a long time and helped influence the Shanahan offense. And then a couple of years back when he was Denver's starting quarterback, they ran a similar system. So Flacco should be able to get into the lineup relatively soon. I just can't get over the fact that this is an upgrade. It shows you what a lot... And listen, this is not a second guess. If you listened during the offseason, I said over and over, they better do something at the backup quarterback spot. This was a bad idea that they were meeting danger if they handled the backup quarterback situation without addressing it. Well, look what happened now. Fifth round pick, sixth round pick, not that big of a deal, but it's something. And you had to give up a pick to get Joe Flacco. Not good. Well, I certainly did not bet on the Jets making a trade for Joe Flacco on Monday, but BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the football action this season and the basketball action. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And trading for Joe Flacco is certainly not going to fix the Jets, but if you need to fix your car or truck, I do have a solution for you, rockauto.com. Save time and money when using them, because Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday after an eventful Monday where the Jets made plenty of news at the quarterback position. Zach Wilson out 2 to 4 weeks with a sprained PCL. Not the best news, but not the worst news. And then the team trades a sixth-round pick that is a conditional pick that could become a fifth-rounder to Philadelphia to get old backup Joe Flacco back. It was a very difficult 48 hours for the New York Jets franchise between that performance in New England on Sunday, losing your quarterback for a couple of weeks. At least you did not lose him for longer. And now we have a game against the Cincinnati Bengals to focus on, and we will talk about the Bengals game over the next few days here on the podcast. But you're hoping to see the Jets get back on track this weekend. It's going to be tough because the Bengals are vastly improved, and of course the Jets will be without their starting quarterback. We don't know yet whether Flacco is going to be the starting quarterback on Sunday. You know, he might. Practice has not begun this week. They have not implemented the game plan yet, and Flacco does have experience playing in a system similar to this. You know, Flacco being a veteran quarterback means that he's not going to need a full training camp to get up to speed on the system. He's been in every possible system in the NFL, so he should be a pretty quick study. I'm not sure I would necessarily rule out him getting the ball on Sunday, but ultimately, I think what for the Jets, I keep going back to this word. It's about progress, and it's a difficult word to define. But unfortunately, I feel like we've gotten to a point where we're not seeing enough progress. Now, we did see some progress earlier in the season, most notably in the victory over Tennessee, but Sunday's game was a big step backwards because the most important thing about progress is the Jets need to keep improving as the season progresses. And it looked like the Jets regressed on Sunday against New England. If you're looking for like what a good example of progress would be, I kind of look at the season that the Detroit Lions are having, even though their record's not very good right now, and they've lost some heartbreaking games, but they're playing against some really good competition and standing tall, really playing toe-to-toe against some very good teams. They almost beat Baltimore. I mean, it took a miracle kick by Justin Tucker to beat them. They were very competitive on a road game against the Rams, a team that a lot of people like to come out of the NFC this year. I'm looking at that team, and I'm saying, I wish that's what the Jets were like. And I think that fans would understand. Now, listen, I'm sure there would be some frustration if the Jets kept losing tight games, but I look at the Lions team, and that was the kind of season I envisioned the Jets having. And it was the season the Jets were kind of having maybe a couple of weeks ago when they were playing competitive football most weeks and they were able to secure that one victory against Tennessee. They got to get back to that. And, I mean, for all the bad things you could say about the Flacco trade, and listen, there are lots, Flacco at least makes me feel like it's plausible the Jets can win a game over the next couple of weeks in a way Mike White and Josh Johnson did not. And I'm saying one game. I mean, I'm not expecting Flacco to lead the Jets to a winning streak, but maybe he has a good game or two in him, and hopefully the Jets can build on that for when Zach Wilson returns. And we'll talk plenty more about the weeks ahead on future episodes of Locked On Jets, but that's all for today. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy our show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. I hope you have a great Tuesday, and send in your mailbag questions. Tomorrow is our weekly Wednesday mailbag show.